This is Drew Mackey. You're listening to Singing Mountain.
Actually, I like that. Maybe we'll keep that one. Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Singing Mountain, where I am joined for the second time ever by a guest. And my guest is Glenn Lakin, a.k.a. Roommate Glenn. Glenn, hi.
Oh, hello. I'm wearing headphones, and I do not like it.
Glenn, you're some sort of writer, is that correct?
That's what the police say.
Uh-huh. Glenn, in addition to being my roommate and someone that kind of comes up not infrequently on this podcast, Glenn is a screenwriter whose movie is coming out later this year.
Yes, it is. Father's Day of 2019, which is the current year, I am told.
That is accurate. Glenn has also advised me on a lot of episodes with suggestions for stuff and games that I have not played before.
They're Sega.
Right. There's a lot of Sega games I haven't played. There's a lot of PlayStation 1 RPGs I haven't played. Glenn, what is your first memory of playing video games?
My first memory is loving this game for the Atari system. I don't even remember what their home system was called, but we had that. And there was this maze game where your tanks going around a maze shooting at each other. And I always wanted my brother to play it, and he never would unless I like did things for him.
Right.
So most of my early memories of video games are watching. Like, I remember being 4 or 5 and our babysitter came over and made pizza rolls, and she and my brother got further in Super Mario Brothers, the original, than I had ever seen before. And it was the stage with the bullet bills and the white trees, and I was like amazed by the white trees.
You're like, it's snow.
I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And then she just made some jokes and I laughed so hard I farted. And so until the Genesis, I was mostly a spectator. I was like intimidated by how hard the games were. Like, I bought Castlevania so my brother would play it for me.
For like which Castlevania? The first one?
Yeah.
Oh. You still do enjoy watching people play video games. And not that Twitch is a thing. That's like a spectator sport, yeah. Like for real now. What was the first video game you remember actually like really getting into as a player?
Shining Force 1.
All right. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had gotten the Genesis that Christmas, and I think my first three games were Sonic 2, Golden Axe, and Ninja Turtles Hyperstone Heist. So I guess I'm lying. My first video game that I was into was the Ninja Turtles arcade game for the regular Nintendo.
Another game series you really love is Lunar, and our opening track comes from the very first Sega CD version of Lunar. The title was Fighting Through the Darkness. It is the vocal like theme of it, composed by Noriyuki Iwadari and sung by Shia Almeida, who also did a voice for Magic Knight Rayearth, you'll be surprised to know.
I would not be surprised because they're both from Working Designs.
Prescia. I don't know who that character is, but that's who she voiced. What is your relationship with the Lunar games? And when I gave you the opportunity to pick the intro and outro tracks for this episode, why did you pick this one?
I'll answer that question first. I obviously picked this one because you are reluctant to play vocal tracks on this podcast.
Accurate.
And so I wanted to pick, obviously, something that was sung. And I picked that one because it was my first experience, obviously, hearing a vocal track in a video game. Lunar was actually my first traditional RPG. It beat out Final Fantasy for me. And I think I had maybe rented Phantasy Star 2 before, but didn't get any real depth in it. It's a very hard game.
Yeah, it's a hard one to crack into.
And Lunar was the first game I sort of like just sat down, was wowed by, and just played all the way through and loved it. And all like the plot twists worked for me. And I know that most of it is probably like trope by now.
Yeah.
But at the time,
it might have even been then, really.
Yeah, probably. And it was also like anime style. And I think that sort of was right before, at the cusp of my love of anime.
This theme song sounds like an anime closing credits theme song, maybe not an opening credits theme song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like if you listen, think of Record of Lotus War, like that closing theme was also very close to my heart. And so I think this track just sort of sets up the world and the wow factor for me. And it's good. Like, I still jam to the Japanese version.
I don't disagree. It's actually a well-composed. It feels exciting. It's grabby. I find the Lunar series to be a difficult thing for my purposes because I haven't played them firsthand, because the only one I ever played was the one for iPad, and the controls are, like, terrible. But Noriyuki Iwadare did the music for Silver Star Story Complete, which was, like, a later remake of the series. He redid all the music.
Yes, which...
That's crazy.
Whatever.
I can't imagine being an artist who like did the work and then was like, okay, I'm going to do something completely different and redo it from scratch. That's a really hard creative labor thing to do.
Oh, you must not be a screenwriter.
I'm not a screenwriter. No, I'm not. I'm a podcast person. So the reason Glenn is here today is we're going to play a little game that I kind of invented for episode 48, which is the one where I interviewed my business partner, Catherine. And in that game, I played her video game music to see what feeling she got from it, like what the vibe she got, just to see if like can someone who doesn't know VGM that well pick up on what the composer's trying to put down. This one's a little bit harder because... No, it's harder on my end because you've played a lot of stuff. So I had to pick stuff that you haven't played, but you're also better versed in like the language of video game music, if that makes sense.
Which is strange because I know nothing about actual music, like popular music.
I think just playing video games for a period, you would absorb some of these rules by osmosis. Like one of the examples, so some of the stuff in here is types of music that wouldn't exist anywhere else. The example I'm going to give you that's not in one of the things I'm going to play for you is bonus stage music, which is like fairly short, loops pretty quickly, upbeat, kind of annoying a lot of the time, and like high energy, maybe like tension building because you have to do something quickly. There's not an example of that really, maybe on like a game show or something, there might be something very similar, but like that's the only place that sort of music really exists. And it's very common in video games. If you played most types of video games, you probably heard it at one point. Like if you guess it's something that it's not, that kind, that maybe the composer didn't do their job properly. Like,
yes, let's blame them. Let's blame the artist.
I'm just interested on what the effect on people is, if that makes sense. Here's a practice one. This one doesn't count for anything. I'm not keeping score really, they kind of am. Is it, Glenn?
Well, it sounds like something is underwater. I mean, I know exactly what that's from.
Right. I feel like people who've played very little video games probably would be familiar with that. The interesting thing, and like as an example for how this game works, is that I don't actually think it intrinsically sounds like water. It's a waltz. It's a 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. There's nothing about it that necessarily speaks water to me.
I only dance underwater.
Is that true?
No.
Oh.
I'm a very bad swimmer.
Are you really?
Oh, yes.
I'm learning so much about you. So if someone did not get water, that wouldn't be a wrong answer because, like, if you have never heard of Super Mario Brothers and don't know what the song is meant to signify, I don't think there's anything about it that gets you there. Other music, I think, kind of does, especially as you get into more complex music, like on 16-bit and like the generation beyond that.
Whatever. I feel like you've tricked me.
No. So here's the first real one I'm going to play. Have a listen to this one, Glenn.
You're going to be so mad because I know that one, too.
Do you really?
Is it Lufia?
It's Lufia, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the battle themes are very similar in both games. I thought you hadn't played that game.
I rented it.
Oh.
I really liked it.
It's a really good game.
It is.
Especially the second one is like a kind of weird narratively, because if you play the first one, you know what happens to mm-hmm. those characters at the end. And they still made it quite good, actually.
If I didn't know what that was about, I would say maybe an energetic hike.
To me, like the thrashing, like I'm going to call them guitars. They're not guitars, but there's like very, very clearly we're supposed to imagine they're guitars. Gets you kind of in the mood of it being something harder. But yeah, that is the example I pick for an RPG battle theme, because that's a very specific type of music. And they all kind of more or less still sound like that even today.
You probably would have been hard pressed to find a 16-bit era RPG battle theme that I had not heard.
I tried really hard. Well, I tried really hard. I forgot. Sorry. When I don't have my words in front of me, the swears just come out of my mouth. I have to bleep it. Okay, so you got, that was...
I'm winning.
Here's the next one. Again, mood, setting, genre, anything that comes to mind.
I'm getting like a Demon City Shinjuku vibe, so I'm picturing like people driving down the highway at night, cutting people's heads off with katanas.
Okay, that is not far off. It is a sci-fi theme shooter, so black background, like pulsating gross alien monsters, and you are in a vehicle that's moving, but you're shooting and not lopping off heads with things. Again, like there is a beat that I think they're trying to suggest movement forward, rapid movement forward, and it's high energy, and there's a bit of a demonic thing going on there. It's not
banal.
No, it's horror or sci-fi. Mm-hmm. It's definitely some sort of weird genre thing happening right there. The song is called Venus Fire, Stage 2 Gorgon. I don't know. Thunder Force AC, unknown composer. Thunder Force, they had, I think, four of them on console systems, and this is the one arcade version of it, and they're all very similar, like Gradius-type space shooters.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing like articles about it in GamePro.
They all have really rocking soundtracks. Here's your next one, Glenn.
I'm either shopping or I'm at an inn.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That is the Village Music 1 from Seiken Densetsu 3, which I know you have not played. The title is Little Sweet Cafe.
But it does sound eerily similar to the first one. I mean, second one.
Same, they're both Hiroki Kukuda. He came back for that one. I think it's a very charming song. It's one I haven't played before, but you would have to have some experience with video games to know instantly, like, oh, that is a Pleasant Town theme. Mm-hmm. Sort of, it like, it's almost like saccharine in like how like peaceful and sunny it is, but somehow it doesn't annoy me. Yeah.
Yeah, I would like an RPG in where you get attacked. Just to throw things off.
Get attacked to that music?
Yeah, well, no, maybe to that music, but just like while you're there getting a bed, the innkeeper just like attacks you.
That's not a bad idea. The closest I can think to that actually happening is in Legend of Zelda 2, where you enter a town scenario, and sometimes you'll talk to someone, and they'll just turn into like a bat or a monster, and you have to kill them. Weird that we didn't ever see that again. That I can think of.
Well, the town of Zozo is full of thieves.
It's true. That's true. And you do get attacked there, but not by the residents. They just lie to you. And don't steal from you?
They may steal from you.
I've never used the Zozo theme on this podcast. I don't know.
I mean, the monsters in that town are the townspeople.
I guess they're all like humanoid, basically. Yeah. Okay.
I'm in a suburb, either delivering papers or rolling over, like, goo.
Rolling over goo? What does that mean?
I don't know, like, little slimes that are taking over the town.
That makes sense. It is, in fact, like, another town setting. It is from River City Ransom. Are you familiar with that series? It's by Kazuo Sawa, and it's the shop theme.
Hmm.
Shop is another weird thing where very short loop, very repetitive. Happy? Because you're happy to be shopping, I guess?
My favorite shop theme is from Phantasy Star 2.
I mean, I can cut it in here.
No, it's okay. No. It may also be the save shop, which is oddly, like, treated like a shop.
That is weird. That happens sometimes. Sometimes, like, the church is the save point.
Like in Shining Force 1.
Is it really?
I mean, no, you go to a church and talk to a dude.
Yeah. Glenn, here's the next one.
Japanese village?
Close.
Like, racially insensitive close?
No. You got the nation right, but not quite the setting. Okay, so this is the first Samurai Showdown. It's a theme you hear when you fight Yukio, who's the, like, pretty blue-haired guy who's, like, sad.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Okay. It's called Moon Petal. This is a fighting game theme. It doesn't sound like one at all. it's laid back and they're using traditional Japanese instruments, but even then it's like very sparse and it doesn't sound like an action theme at all. So I picked this because I don't actually get fighting game. Quiet Village is actually probably closer to the territory. So I think you're not wrong, basically. How do you like not being wrong?
I love it. Am I beating Catherine?
Oh, yes. Oh my goodness, yes. Yes, Glenn.
Nighttime end credits scroll.
Very close. It's not an end credits theme. It's a different, very specifically only video game thing. You want to guess?
I'm thinking, Drew. Character select screen?
It's a menu screen from Star Fox, which is, so when you're looking at that menu, it's on a black background with like twinkling stars in the distance. And I think you get a sense of not even space necessarily, but night sky, mm-hmm. because it's peaceful and like not threatening and vast.
Yeah, it sounds like twinkling stars.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the menu theme from, I think the name is Controls Menu from Star Fox, composed by Hajime Hirasawa. I feel like you're going to probably know this one, but good.
It feels Castlevania adjacent.
Okay.
This one's hard. I don't know, walking through like a mausoleum or a museum or some like quiet place where you're supposed to like not shout.
That is very almost exactly it, actually. It comes from Secret of Evermore. Did you ever play that one?
I did.
Okay, so this is in the medieval like quadrant of the game. There are two castles, Ivor Tower, which is the white one, and Ebon Keep, which is the dark one. And this is the theme to Ebon Keep, which is like a sad and desolate place. So it is essentially like a mausoleum mm-hmm. or a museum. And you said castle right off the bat, Castlevania, but still, like, I can't tell you why this sounds like a castle to me. I really can't. Even though I can't even really remember what that area looked like in the game, the mental image I put in my head is like very, very castle-y and sad.
What did a dog look like in that world?
He was a pink poodle in that world, which didn't really make sense. But I guess if you're thinking like medieval to like Renaissance, it kind of made sense. Yeah. I don't think I've ever played Secret of Evermore music on this podcast so far. It's really good. By Jeremy Soule, who's, I think it might've been the first video game he's ever done, but he's done a ton of stuff after that.
I mean, it feels side-scrolly, like a Battletoads or Double Dragon, but I'm picturing, like, this is the stage where you have to hop between cars or moving vehicles in some way.
You're right.
Oh.
It comes from the Genesis Batman, the first movie game. I don't know how to explain that, but, like, the Super Nintendo Genesis had two mm-hmm. very different versions. This is the Genesis one. Track 6, Sky Over Gotham City. I actually don't know if it's maybe a flying stage or not. I don't know, but it is that genre of game, disregarding any possible like flying or driving stages. It's a platforming game, and they have like a very specific sound. And I don't think it sounds like a driving track. It sounds like something much more active than that, and I'm not really sure why.
Right.
Yeah. And that was composed by Naoki Kodaka. Here's the next one.
Very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting like some sort of water stage, not necessarily underwater, but water adjacent.
I could see that actually, because it's kind of serene.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's like an edge to it. It's actually the title theme to NES series we never got here, Famicom Tantai Club, which is the like.
Hentai Club?
Tantai. I don't know if I pronounced it right. It's Detective Club.
Oh, okay.
So it's the like. Visual novel style game mm-hmm. where you play a high schooler who's solving a mystery. And
as high schoolers do.
We both watch Riverdale. That's basically all they do. And I'm looking at the title screen right now, and it's a shot of what is clearly supposed to be a high school, and it is sunset after the sun has gone down. So it's, I think that's like the shade of darkness to it. And also that they're always investigating murders in these games.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
so. I was wrong.
You weren't wrong. I get why it sounds like active, like a little snappier. Like you that could actually be a platforming game where you're in water. I could actually.
No, I pictured like an RPG where you're just like walking, like on the stepping stones over like a lake with a history.
Lake with a History is my band name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in that sense, it sort of fits what mm-hmm. you're describing, in that it's like serene, but beneath the surface. There's something lurking.
That is true. I think it's an effective composition. It's by Kenji Yamamoto. I guess they just didn't know how to market visual novel games here, but I think that is like a very appealing concept. I just wish it was a franchise that like we got.
It could have also been like the fact that like with the sequel to Secret of Mana, like they couldn't bring it over here just because translating all that text took up more memory.
Oh, you're probably right. I didn't mm-hmm. think about that. Yeah. That would be a lot of text.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're almost done.
Oh, God.
No, just a few more. Thank you.
know, I'm feeling church.
It feels like either medieval or church. Mm-hmm. I get it. I think the reason it sounds like that is that it's the game over screen from Undertale.
Oh.
Which has a bunch of like the songs sound very different from one track to the next, but that's when you hear it. The track is called Determination, which is an interesting title for a game over.
Well, because I want you to keep playing.
Right. But there's sort of like a funeral churchy vibe to it. It's very pretty, mm-hmm. but solemn. And I knew you hadn't played this game and probably hadn't seen me game over in front of you. So yeah. Yeah.
I've only ever seen you play those puzzles.
The one where you fixed it for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really hard. The steam vent puzzles was, I couldn't figure it out. That is by Toby Fox, who invented the game from the ground up and did all the music. So I think he's like maybe a genius or something.
Some sort of like fun Western. Like mm-hmm. I'm picturing that Dragon's Lair-esque game that we played at that one bar that was really bad and it was glitchy. No, that's on your machine.
It's probably on the, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if the listeners know that I have an arcade machine.
Oh, how do they not?
It just hasn't ever come up before.
Drew has an arcade machine with a bunch of games I had never heard of.
The one time I took a selfie for the Singing Mountain Pod Instagram thing, I had that in the background. I thought people would like, oh, that's an arcade machine. Why do you have an arcade machine? No one asked. Yeah, but whatever. Yes. Oh, yeah. The Badlands.
Badlands.
Mm-hmm. Which was a, what do you call it? Laserdisc
yeah.
style game, which is impossible to play. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Instagram, do you remember when I posted?
Wait, was I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are right. Do you remember when I posted that picture of the buff Indiana Jones guy?
Yeah.
Like a few days ago. That is Dandy J, which I think is supposed to be Indiana Jones, like pulled back a little mm-hmm. bit. And that's his stage. So he is rugged Western looking guy. And like, especially Western in the national sense for the rest of the game, which is Waka Waka 7. And I love that background theme. That's a fighting game theme and doesn't sound like one. They do a really good job of mimicking a style that is, I would say, probably uniquely American. So yeah, you were right, Glenn.
Nice.
There are two left. And then we're done.
I'm getting like an evil is afoot vibe, like alien invasion or some sort of body snatcher type situation.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's very close for a game I know you have not played. So this is from Earthbound, which is a game where you're fighting an alien invasion. And it is specifically the theme of Paula, who is like the first party member you meet. She's a little psychic girl. She has blonde hair and a pink dress, and she's very cute, but she has like weird psychic powers. And her mom runs a preschool. It's called Polestar Preschool. I think her name is Paula Polestar. And this song plays in scenes involving Paula initially, and it plays in the preschool. And I think it does a good job of eerie bit going in, and then that like kind of crunchy bit that comes after it is like a little bit more lighthearted, and it's a good metaphor for Earthbound, which is a combination of legit weird and like familiar and like kind of corny. I don't know. It's a very weird track. I can't really compare it to anything else.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry. I talked over. Yes. Alien Invasion. Yeah.
You can be impressed. That's fine.
I can be impressed. Yeah. Okay. Here's the last one, Glenn.
This isn't a Wild Arms game, is it?
It is not, but I know why you're guessing that.
I mean, it definitely has like that sort of later game RPG feel where the party has decided to like, I don't know, take on the evil in a real way this time.
I get that as well. If I told you it was a character theme, what would you guess about that character?
Some sort of reformed bad boy.
You're actually not far off again. This is from Octopath Traveler. It's the theme of one of the 8 heroes you can choose from. It is Primrose the Dancer.
Oh.
Who, her story has her start in rather rough circumstances, and she has to escape and go out into the world. And it is sort of a redemption story of her getting out of the crummy, shady desert town that she's trapped in. And I think the song does a good job of shorthanding all of that, because she's a dance. Her class is dancer. It sounds like something a dancer would dance to, but there's a hint of like, what do you call them?
Little finger symbols.
Little castanets.
Mm-hmm.
Castanets.
Oh, the bard I'm playing in my next D&D game. That's one of his instruments. I felt like it would annoy my party members.
Wait, do you actually have castanets to play at the game or no?
No, I'm just going to mime them and make like little noises.
That is still pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which of the outro tracks that I sent you did you choose?
We're not there yet.
Oh.
We're not. We have to close out. There's the whole thing I have to do. I realize I don't have...
But I have to talk about why I chose it.
We'll get there. Just
fine.
Hang the on. I'll bleep it. I don't know what to call this. If I do more than one of these, I think it could be interesting, like making people answer questions about different songs. It's not like name that tune because you're not naming it. It's like, what do you feel? But like, I don't want to call it like deep down feelings. That's not, feel yourself deep down. No.
Oh, do call it feel yourself.
Feel yourself.
Feel yourself with Drew Mackey.
If you can think of a name for this series, if you people don't hate this and I do another one, what should I call it? Please tell me. I have no idea what a good name for it would be. That is it for this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or criticisms about Singing Mountain, the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter at Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E, or at Singmopod, S-I-N-G-M-O-P-O-D. You can also follow Singing Mountain on Facebook. Just search for Singing Mountain and click on the one that is not a bakery. And if you like pixel art, follow me on Instagram at Singing Mountain Pod. Glenn, if people wanted to follow you on Twitter to see what kind of neat things you're doing, how would they find you?
I am I Write Wrongs on Twitter. That is right with a W. Mm-hmm. And wrong spelled correctly. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, at Bros Quartz.
Which is not a reference I think you have to explain to this audience, because I think they're all going to get it.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Also, we have a podcast we do sometimes. Can you imagine that we keep up this like level of enthusiasm for two shows? Glenn, tell people about the show we do.
We do a show called Gayest Episode Ever, which talks about episodes of classic TV sitcoms that dealt with LGBT issues.
And we are
ramping up for
season two. We're recording one about Blossom this week.
Oh, it's a wild ride.
It's really weird. Even if you are not a gay person, I think it's an interesting lens for pop culture and what was happening in TV in different eras, and I think you might enjoy it. You should listen to that podcast. Go to gayestepisodeever.com if you want to see what we're doing. Season two coming soon. Please subscribe to this podcast. If you like the show, please give us a rate and review, because those are helpful for all the reasons you've heard on every podcast ever. Also, Singing Mountain is a Table Cakes podcast. Table Cakes is a Los Angeles-based podcast network that features some really cool shows like Gayest Episode Ever and, you know, the rest. Check them out at tablecakes.com. If you want to support us, please go to patreon.com/tablecakes. Now we do the outro track. Glenn, I lost it. Hold on. Dream Dreams from Nights, Journey of Dreams, composed by Tomoko Sasaki, featuring vocals by Robbie Wyckoff and Francis M. Benitez. Why? What is your relationship to dreams? To Nights?
Well, Nights into Dreams is an amazing game. It was Sega's attempt to sort of strike oil twice in terms of like reinventing the platform for 3D mm-hmm. that didn't involve Sonic. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it didn't take off. But in it, you play a boy and a girl who are dreaming. And if you collect enough stuff, I don't know, you turn into this, like, some sort of like Harley Quinn dream master thing.
Whose name is Knights. Mm-hmm. And I don't like him. I find him very creepy. And for some reason, I should like that both the boy and the girl both turn into the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I want, like, yeah, it's weird that like they share a form. I don't know why.
The game is beautiful. The music is beautiful. But this song I picked because, do you know how like when you taste something that's gone sour or tastes weird, you force someone else to taste it? Like, oh, does this taste bad to you? Like, that's what the song is to me. Like, I love it dearly, but I think it's trash.
Okay,
but it's trash in the way that I love it. Like, it's so, I don't know. I think it's so earnest.
Mm-hmm. I see what you like. It reminds me of the like the style of music. You like the Care Bears. Is it the sequel?
Oh, yeah. Care Bears 2. Yeah, I love every single track on that album. Right.
And then you really love that. Was it the Wizard of Oz anime?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That was a weird week. Heard a lot of that one. But it's a very particular style of music. I don't think this is as good as those. I think it is, you know how Cirque du Soleil is like very colorful and everyone looks like they're having a good time, mm-hmm. but there's something deep down terrifying about it. That's how I feel about this. But yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the usual thing you would include in this podcast.
No.
But I love the opportunity to make lots of people listen to it. I can't stop laughing.
Well, just so everyone can experience this weird thing, have a listen to Dreams. That's the name of the track, is Dreams. Not a comma or anything, just Dreams. That's it.
You're welcome.
See ya.
I can see you were not far away. Anytime, any place, I can see your face. You are that special one that I've been waiting for, and I hope you're looking for someone like me.
In my dreams, I can hear you calling me. In the night, everything's so sweet. In your eyes, I feel there's so much inside.
In the night, dream delight, I want to see you stand. Someone who really cares. In the night, dream delight, I want to see you smile again. In the night, dream delight, you're the one I've waited for. Everything we want to. There's nowhere I'd rather be but here with you. The stars above light the way only for you and I. I'm so glad I found the one I've been looking for. See you.